Unit 38, that's a 10-1, that's half 36. Copy, that's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome back to Running Code, the podcast where you get to know a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News Police Department. Melissa, it is good to see you. It's been almost a month now.
It has been, Morgan. It's good to see you, too. Yeah. I'm glad you're in one piece, two pieces. What do we got going on there?
I'm still in one piece, recovering a little bit from my foot surgery, but thank you. I'm doing well. I'm 1 month in, and the doctor says I'm doing all right.
That's good. You're bored to death?
I'm back to work. It was exciting to go back to work. It sure was. Absolutely. In the office, but I'm okay with that.
Good. We're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
One piece.
Thank you. We got a great guest today.
We do have a great guest today.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
You want to let the people know who you are?
Yeah. So I'm Detective Campbell. I'm with the Newport News Police Department. I've been currently on the department for 7 years. Prior to that, I was in the United States Air Force for about 12 and a half years. I have a background in law enforcement. Did various tasks in the Air Force, from entry controller to armor to desk sergeant, and then ultimately flight chief was my last responsibilities, supervisor for more than about 40 to 50 airmen.
So listen, you have a very interesting first name, right? And for the record, so that we can nail it down, how do you pronounce your first name?
Tesfaye.
Tesfaye. All right, so for the record, we are. It is recorded now.
Okay. Tesfaye.
Now, is there any kind of history to that name?
So, yes. So, people that know me know I'm half Ethiopian. My mom is from Ethiopia. The name comes from God's Hope. So, I know she told me when I was younger, forgot about it. Then when I got older, my daughters asked me. Then I was like, you know, let's go ask Grandma. So, God's Hope.
Yeah, nice. Beautiful name.
Thank you.
Beautiful name. And you served in the Air Force, you said.
I did.
So did you get a chance to see the world?
Twice over.
Any particular places you'd like to talk about?
Oh, yeah. We can go start. You know, when I first joined, I left out of New York, out of Fort Hamilton. I never forget that day. It was February 14th, 2005. We left. My mom and dad went with us to Times Square. I don't know if you guys have been to New York and saw the recruiting station in Times Square. Mm-hmm. We went out there. I don't think my mom knew that this day was coming. I think she thought it was not a joke, but it's not going to come. And then that day came, you know, it was silence, but it was a happy silence. Said goodbyes, boarded a bus, left overnight, went to San Antonio. And then that's when I got a culture shock in San Antonio. I was like, man, what is this man screaming at us in the middle of the airport? I was like, what did I get myself into? It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. This man is screaming at us.
Gosh.
But I see the life lessons on why. It was to get away to the Air Force. I can't be any more prouder than my 12 and a half years in. It definitely shaped who I am as a professional, as a father, as a husband, as a community member. Overall, it's definitely guided me through even some of my darkest times. It's definitely guided me through. So.
Wow. And what countries did you visit while you were in the service?
I had a chance to go sent-wise, deployed-wise, and station-wise. I lived in Germany for two and a half years. Went to Korea for another year. I had a chance to live in California for about 5 years. And then ultimately, my last duty assignment was here at Langley, Joint Base Langley-Eustis, where I was here for 4 years.
So that must have really opened your mind, the traveling and meeting other cultures.
It is.
Especially being half Ethiopian.
Definitely. Growing up as a kid from the tri-state area, from New York, New Jersey, I was definitely open to the melting pot. You know, I definitely had a different view of life, different cultures, different ethnicities. So I wasn't behind the power curve on that, but definitely seeing a different way of life going to Germany as a young man at 18 years old was definitely a culture shock. It's way different than the U.S. Well, you know, I was like, whoa, this is way different, whether it's technology, just the living situation, no AC. Right. It was definitely a culture shock to me, though. But, you know, I adapted to it, and I made the most out of it. So.
Right. And then eventually you made your way to the Newport News, Virginia Police Department.
How did that happen? So, it's a crazy story, but a funny story. Then Master Police Officer Thweet and then Sergeant Dunbar, we met at our I used to be a unit deployment manager as one of my stints in the Air Force. We had equipment, and it was traffic cones. We had orange traffic cones. In Air Force, they want Langley blue. Go figure.
Okay.
So I had to reorder about 500 plus traffic cones. My squadron commander said, get rid of these cones. So I said, well, I don't know who's going to want the traffic cones. So I reached out to local law enforcement agencies. The first one was Hampton because it's a conjoining city.
Hampton.
Never got a call back. So I said, oh, I guess they don't want traffic cones.
For the record.
No shade.
So I contacted Newport News Dispatch, and they actually got a hold of someone from the training division, and it was then MPO 3. He was so eager to, he's like, we'll come now and get these traffic cones.
With a truck and everything, right?
So I then developed a friendship with MPO Thuit and then MPO Hudson at the time, and then Sergeant Dunbar. And it just developed. And I knew at the time I was going through a personal conflict in my life where, you know, my career had to come short. And I wanted to transition. I wanted to still serve my community. One day I just reached out to MPO Thuit. I said, I just want to start the process. And here we are 7 years later. I couldn't be more happy. I made the decision. And I couldn't be more happy that they hired me.
Wow.
Thank you, Air Force, right?
Go Blue.
We'll
go Air
it.
Force. My father in the Army won't be happy to hear me say
right.
that.
Yeah, go Blue. Go Blue.
That's right.
Very cool. So what are you doing now on the department? Where are you at?
So for the last 3.5, almost 4 years, coming up in August, I've been assigned to the Major Crimes Division, the Aggravated Assault Unit. It was just incepted back in 2020, or 2019, I'm sorry. So I've been there through the beginning. And what I do is I solve violent crimes, the shooting of occupied dwellings, the crimes that are aggravated in nature, crimes that would normally be handled by a detective, I'm sorry, by a non-patrol officer or a patrol officer going to a detective. So that's what I handle. Sometimes including the homicide, unfortunately. That's what it sometimes results in that. I've been up there, like I said, for 4 years. So I've been well-rounded in, you know, violent crimes. So it's definitely it's an eye-opener from what I was when I was a patrol officer.
Now, I understand that you enjoy and are committed to doing activities with the community to include volunteering. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
I do. I do take great pride in, you know, my casework and being a patrol officer. But what I do take the most pride in is volunteering in our community. I think that's where I make the most impact in our community. Definitely engaging in public schools with the Level Up program with Miss Buckingham and Officer Peterson, who's my bestie, as I call him, my best friend. We definitely go to different middle schools. I know for me, Carver Elementary is my middle school or elementary school. And we just mentor the youth, you know, give them that hope. You know, sometimes that's all they need is that hope, and they need just that figure to tell them, hey, you can power through this. It's going to be all right. No matter what the obstacle is, we're going to get through that obstacle. We'll be with you through that obstacle.
I imagine being in the Air Force and being new on the police department when you first came on, I imagine you had a lot of strong mentors that mentored you along the way as well.
I did. I definitely did. I definitely had a lot of growing up to do from when I was a young man to when I first started. But coming on at the age of 30 at the time, it definitely gave me, you know, I was been around the block, so I've had previous employment, so I knew what to expect. But being that older in the academy and definitely with younger people that were in the academy, I was able to, you know, like, hey, this is how we're supposed to do. It's almost like a big brother. Like they see someone that's older, that's been around and doing it.
And so. Had that life experience that maybe a 21-year-old might not have.
Correct.
Which isn't a bad thing. We all learn, right, over time.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. So I have to ask you, and I don't know if the viewers, let me back up. The viewers obviously see this, but you're in extraordinary health. And I know that health and fitness plays a very important role in your life in general. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So at a young age, was involved in football, wrestling when I was in high school. My father instilled in me, you know, be active. You never want to just sit around, be active. We had this old weight set on our balcony because I lived in an apartment growing up. And I just started lifting weights. And it just, ever since then, I never stopped. It's my safe zone. It's almost where for those 2 hours or hour of the day, it's just me and the weights. It's just that muscle connection with the weights. It's just a clear mind. I get to take out my stressors if I'm having the stressors that day. And I love it. But it also keeps me in shape. It keeps me young at heart, you know.
Well, I imagine physically and mentally, because it is a decompressor when it's just you and that weight.
It does. It definitely does. Now, I'm no runner. You know, I don't get a runner's high.
Right.
You know, I'm far from running. But, I mean, the weights are the next best option for me, so.
Right. Got some children.
I do.
Right, Mark? We talked about that earlier, yeah.
Listen. I'm just going to say it for the people in the back row. Your daughter is absolutely
thank
adorable.
You.
I know y'all can't see her. Just trust me. She is absolutely adorable.
Thank you. Thank you.
7 months?
7 months. Oh, 7 months on the 13th.
She's still got that fresh baby smell.
Oh.
Oh, God. Your wife did such a great job. Yeah. She's so cute.
Sometimes you got to sniff her. Just make sure. Just to get the new baby smell before it goes away.
Does she have you wrapped around her little finger?
She has me wrapped around, but all my kids have me wrapped around.
How many children do you have?
So I have four. I have a stepson from a new marriage. Just got married recently.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And then I have three biological daughters.
And they are your life?
They are. All my children are my life.
Everything you do revolves around that.
It does. I will tell you, as a young man, you know, that was some of the growing up I had to do. As a young father, you know, I wasn't always around the most, you know, and that was something that I had to take ownership for. But now, as I've gotten older, my children are my world. If I'm not at work, I'm with my children.
Yeah.
They definitely bring life into me. They remind me of why I'm here, and they give me the strength, along with my wife and, you know, the Lord, to move forward.
Yeah, because it is a tough job, and I think we all recognize it's a tough job. And coming home to, especially a 7-month-old, are you kidding me? The world stops. Everything else doesn't matter for that period of time when you're around that 7-month-old.
I could have the worst of worst days.
Yeah.
But the minute I walk through those doors, and I see that big bright, she's now starting to say "dada" as her first words. For the record,
Dada.
Wait a minute.
Okay, it's recorded now.
It's easier to pronounce. Let's not do that.
Oh, is that what it is?
No.
It's easier for the babies to pronounce the D.
She said "dada." We recorded it. I even have the timestamp.
I believe
of the recording.
I believe you.
Yeah. So when you're off duty, and other than when you're with your family, what is there anything particular outside of weightlifting that you do to kind of decompress, relax, anything in general?
Actually, getting back into traveling.
Yeah.
My wife is a cruiser. She has now made me.
Really?
She's made me a cruiser. She's definitely made me a cruiser.
That all-inclusive, though.
I know.
That all-inclusive is worth it.
It is, but she's a cruiser. We talk about cruises. In fact, before we got on the air, she had just sent me something for next year, for 2025. I'm like, God, we haven't even got past 2024 yet.
Right.
Pre-planning.
So, yeah.
Pre-planning.
We are cruises, and she's now turned me into a Swiftie.
Really?
She is a Taylor Swift. Team Taylor.
Fan.
But there is a Beehive fan
it
in
is.
The family, right?
Yep. My daughter, my middle daughter.
That part.
She is Queen Bey.
Is there tension there, or are we all just all love in the house?
Oh, she's all love in the house, okay. But she makes it known it's Queen Bey. She'll entertain it.
Wow. So how important is service to you? Because obviously you did it in the Air Force. You're doing it now. It's got to be important. How important is it?
Service is, I know, like I talked about it before, it's shaped who I am today. Today, I bring my service to my community. I serve our community and hopefully enhance our community. That's where I'd like to leave my mark, is hopefully I can make our community better than what it was when I first started. Years ago, it was on a global level. You know, I didn't understand. I had conversations with you before.
Sure.
As a young man, everything happened so fast. I joined at the age of 18, and by the end of 2005, I was a young 18-year-old in Iraq. You can imagine how nerve-wracking that is.
Yeah.
Far away from home, you know, still trying to learn life, understand life. And
right.
Here I am in Iraq, and I'm trying to maneuver through that. We were at the time a country at war. So,
right.
You know, that add on to that. I know my mom was probably scared half to death.
Sure.
But, you know, my father, definitely, he was one of my guiding pieces when I was down there, because he was a Vietnam vet, and he understood what was going on. So, and I didn't even have to tell him. He just knew.
He knew.
He just knew. Just knew. And I'm always forever thankful for that. So, and
yeah, and we are a community heavy with military.
We are.
And a lot of the military that are here had the unfortunate assignment of being over there. So a lot of people that come back, unfortunately, may have mental health issues and things of that sort. How do you stay focused, and how do you keep your mind clear of the things that you unfortunately had to see and hear as a young 18-year-old kid over there, if you don't mind me asking?
So, you know, I have no problems with it. You know, when I was down there, you know, obviously, you know, you see things. That
sure.
It was war. I saw things. When I came back, I didn't really know how to decompress. I'll be the first one to probably tell you, I leaned on alcohol, which at a young age, probably shouldn't have. And I had it one day, cold turkey, I just had to stop. I realized that I needed either to seek help or I needed to better myself. And also communicate, talk to people, you know, telling them how I felt. Back then, if you asked me how I was doing, I'd be like, good,
right.
Keep moving.
Right.
Now, when I transition as a 30-year-old, a 37-year-old, if someone asks me how I'm doing, I'm able to vocalize and talk to them.
Right.
Because what I want is, if I ask someone how they're doing, I want them to be able to, I want that same young man or woman that was my age 20 years ago to open up to me and say, hey, yeah, this is what's going on. This is how I'm feeling.
And I imagine that sharing your story helps a lot of young people who are in similar circumstances that you once were in.
It does. Communication is the key to everything.
Right.
Sometimes we forget that, but just having a simple conversation with someone could just alleviate a lot of things.
Well, Melissa and I have discussed this in the past, and we as police officers don't sometimes recognize just how much it means to somebody when we in uniform just say hello and start that conversation. We don't know what's going on with them. They may be having the worst day of their life. They may be contemplating taking their own life. And that one conversation, that one nice thing that we say to them could mean the difference, you know. And I think that when you share your story, you may do that to soldiers, airmen, Marines, sailors, you know?
Just even on our department, unfortunately, sometimes I'm disassociated from role being in the position I am. You know, I'm not always in uniform all the time.
Sure.
Unless I'm working an overtime assignment. But when I do get a chance to talk to a lot of younger officers, I always tell them, being a police officer isn't always about making an arrest. It's about how we engage our community, how we make our community better. You know, sometimes it's that necessary evil. We have to make the arrest.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We have to do that. But for the most part, just getting out talking to someone, just getting to know your community. That's what we should. That's what we do. Getting out, playing football with a kid, talking to a kid. You could have changed this kid's day.
Sure, absolutely.
You could have changed this kid's day, or even talking to someone that's having a bad day on a traffic stop. You may have saved someone's life, and you never even know about it.
Yeah.
The impact of communication is definitely, I always tell them, it will guide you through everything.
Yeah, and Melissa and I, we worked in community and youth outreach, and maybe you want to cover it, Melissa, but we got a chance to meet a lot of young kids who were hurting for a variety of different reasons, and we got to help them, and I'll tell you, there was such joy in that, Melissa.
Sometimes just sitting down and having a no-nonsense conversation.
Yeah, straightforward.
Sometimes that's just what people need.
Yeah, or talking about it or anything in general, right?
Right.
So this job means a lot to you. This work, this calling means a lot to you.
It does. It's I feel like as a young man, you'll laugh at this story. A lot of you know my brother used to work for the agency.
Excellent man. Nice man.
He was my role model. We were 3 years apart. But he, growing up in New York, New Jersey, tri-state area, would like to watch shows like NYPD Blue or New York Undercover.
Okay.
Oh, I remember
that
one.
It always sparked interest. And don't laugh.
Oh, boy.
The original Bad Boys.
I'm definitely laughing at you.
Mike Lowry. Mike Lowry. That kind of...
Okay, I see the suits.
It kind of got the ball rolling.
I see it.
Bad Boys 2 definitely said it. I was solidified it. That's what got me.
Thank you, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith.
that definitely sparked my interest. Seeing on the NYPD cars, I always tell people, I used to see that little acronym, CPR, Courtesy, yep, Professional Respect.
Right.
And I was like, man, I always wanted to, you know, get involved. And I having conversation with you guys, when I was in high school, I'll be the first one to admit I was not the stellar in academics. You know, I didn't take it serious at times. I mean, I graduated on time. I had someone behind me telling me, you better graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But my grades weren't up to par for college. That's what also ultimately led me into the armed forces first was I didn't want to put a financial burden on my family. Mm-hmm. At the time, my brother was going to NYU, and I knew without having to ask that there's no way they could support two kids going to college. So the best option was joining the armed forces.
So. Wow. So you did the selfless thing.
Yeah. Well, it was the four pamphlets and pick one.
Pick one. But that's all right. That proves resiliency. And it shows that just because you weren't doing the best, you know, in high school doesn't mean your life is over. It just means you take a different track until you get to where it is that you want to be.
But I did make a promise to my mother and my brother and my father that I would obtain my degree. It may have took me a little longer.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm here to say that I obtained my degree.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And I know that would make them happy to hear that.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I will share with you for the viewers who think that because you don't do well in high school, it's the end. It's not true. I actually repeated the 11th grade twice. I did it twice. My senior year twice because I was a poor student. And, you know, I remember signing up for my senior year and being told that, you know, that wasn't going to happen. You know, that you don't have enough credits, and I had to do another year, and it was just overwhelmingly embarrassing. You know, my brother was 1 year younger than me, so we ended up being in the same grade. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, this is horrible. I'll never, you know, how am I ever going to succeed in life? Well, the department hired me after I had taken some college classes. They hired me, and through the department in the city of Nippon News, I was able to obtain, you know, my college degree as
awesome.
Well. And this is a city of second chances. Mm-hmm. You know, they give us second. They look at folks for who they are, like here inside, right? Not necessarily academically, because if you have a good heart, you can do this job, and we can mm-hmm. teach you the rest of the stuff. So we are in a similar position. And I know, Melissa, you and I got our degrees
right around the same time.
And we went on to get our master's.
Yeah,
actually,
we did.
You know, for a kid that failed the 11th grade, we got them. This is what Newport News, the city of, is about.
Right.
It's a beautiful place.
We work in a great, great city, ever transforming.
Mm. Yes.
I couldn't, it's when I'm with you guys up here, it's almost looking at three different decades of policing.
Right.
You started your career in the 90s, you started mm-hmm. your career in the 2000s, mm-hmm. and then me in the 2010s.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to see how we've shifted. Mm-hmm. Through law enforcement and as an agency for all these over the 30 years, right. And you've seen it all,
right?
And we're very blessed to work in a city where the government supports us. You know, like the city government, the folks that are in charge, if you will, care
they
about
actually,
us.
They actually do care.
Yeah,
not just that. Our citizens.
Yes,
they have.
Yes,
I will tell you, having to be able to see around and. One of my additional duties is a crowd management member. Mm-hmm. Our city supports us.
Yes.
Everywhere we go, it's thank you for your support. Thank you for what can we do?
Yes.
Even translating into my primary duties as a detective, hey, we have tips. Hey, what can we do to help you guys solve mm-hmm. crimes? We have video footage.
Yep.
So that's how I can tell our city's also invested in us mm-hmm. and want us to succeed. And that I'm very, very thankful for.
Yeah, well, I totally agree, Melissa. Melissa and I have had that conversation many a time, and we definitely are on board. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that you're wearing a cap with NY on it.
Oh, yeah.
What exactly is that about?
Oh, that boy.
Is the
Here
world,
we go.
That is the world's best football team.
Oh, jeez.
Don't listen to what the Cowboys fans say. Yeah. They're gonna say different.
I was going to say, that sounds like a Cowboys fan.
Really? So that's not for the Bills?
Oh. Well, they are the team of New York. We're the team of New Jersey,
right.
New York.
That's right.
We just play New Jersey.
That's right. All New York teams, yours? All of them?
Absolutely.
So what? Now, we had you know, we had Reyes here. He's a big Yankee fan. Are you Yankee?
It's the Yankees, New York Knicks, Giants.
Oh, same as Reyes.
We all are.
Are the Knicks in the finals?
No, that is a
I'm
sensitive.
Just
if Sergeant Alexander was here, he would be.
Am I going to get an angry text?
Him and Sergeant Faye, he'd be hurt if they heard that.
Are they very sensitive when it comes to that topic?
I just asked.
Oh, we're still hurting from it. They lost on Sunday.
I'm sorry.
I just hit the TV. I'd be by myself on Sunday.
I didn't know that part.
Oh, you did. Hey, I would be remiss if I didn't say that Kelly's out today. So we have
Kelly
Matt.
Kelly is out. We've got Matt today.
We do. How you doing, Matt?
Doing great. Enjoying the show and enjoying the great discussion.
How are we doing on time?
You're looking great. Whenever you want to move on to final the final five you can.
Sure, sure.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes, absolutely.
What's next for you? What do you have in the works? I know you're doing the Ag Assault thing, but...
Well, I want to be a supervisor on this agency. That is one of my goals that I set out. Just to give you a piggyback off of that. So being in the service, like I told you, had a lot of growing up to do. I didn't take promotion serious at the time. Like, I would just scribble a test, you have a nice day, find out the results. I promised myself when I walked through those doors of the academy, when I went through that BLE, that I was going to make the best of this situation. And I promised that I would not fall back and take anything for granted. So from the minute to ground running, it was just markers for me. I know graduating, completing FTO, having additional certifications like crowd management, honor guard, being a certified FTO. It just, those were things that I wanted to check off. And I also want to credit, he's no longer here, Sergeant Sutton. And he was one of the persons that sat down with me and said, you need to apply. You need to think outside the forward scope of being just a patrol officer. You can offer more to the agency as being a detective. I was able to, you know, go through this process. I was able to get selected. And here we are 4 years later. I also want to thank Sergeant Alexander and Sergeant Perez and my current supervisor, Sergeant Smithley, for allowing me to grow and giving me that opportunity to become a more seasoned and senior investigator. But ultimately, promotion, either through the rank of corporal or sergeant, I definitely want to obtain. I want to be able to give back to our agency. I want to be able to give back to our younger officers and help train and mentor a next generation of officers. And then one day be you guys, that's lieutenants awesome. And captains.
Yeah, just younger than me. Yeah, you can just a younger version. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and we've had some great conversations, and I'll follow up. We've had some wonderful conversations about leadership and the importance thereof, right? And how leadership really drives everything, and the machines are important and all that stuff. And I imagine that when you were in the Air Force, you obviously had people in your charge. And you were responsible for making sure they were okay, right? And that the mentally and physically they were squared away. I just, for me, having those conversations with you, I see that you as that's a natural fit for you. It's a transition from one leadership position to the other. Although right now you obviously are a leader amongst your peers and to the community, I just see that as a natural shift for you.
Thank you. Yeah. One of the biggest pleasures I get isn't seeing my success. Is seeing the people that were under me when I was in the Air Force as a tech sergeant.
Yeah.
Seeing the people under me gain success, knowing that they hit their milestones and I was able to be a part of that. That was one of the biggest pleasures for me, seeing that they were able to accomplish a dream or accomplish a goal.
Well, that's the mark of a true leader, isn't it? When it's not about me anymore, it's about we.
Yeah,
I know. That's awesome.
A great mentor of mine, he's now currently a Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force, Huso Scott. He always said, make sure you take care of the people below you, because a true leader above you is going to take care of you. So you don't have to worry about yourself.
That's right.
We'll take care of you. You take care of the ones below you. You make sure that you give them all the 100%.
Very good.
Words well spoken, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Melissa, you want to start this thing off? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to do rapid fire. Are you ready?
Here we go.
All right, favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni. Well, what's wrong with pepperoni?
No brainer. It's a no brainer. Yes, pepperoni. Absolutely. The facial expression.
I just like cheese.
Really?
Plain
Jane?
Simple, man.
Living in Italy, just
margarita. The margarita town pizza. Simple. Yeah.
Listen, now that's not just plain pizza, though.
No. But
margarita
is
a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's fancy cheese. That's good cheese.
Well, they have a Neapolitan restaurant in another city. Close by, about 30 miles away. That's exceptional. We'll talk about it offline.
Okay.
It's not Newport News, so we'll talk about it. It's a secret. All right.
Got it.
All right, here we go. Off-duty, on-duty, doesn't matter. Biggest pet peeve?
Not giving eye contact.
Good one.
Eye contact.
Good one.
That's something if like us having a conversation, we're talking,
yes,
and you're just looking away,
wandering eyes.
Are you here? Are we doing this?
Are we having a conversation? I didn't know we're talking.
Yeah. Oh boy,
Melissa, for you?
Well, I'm a mom, so everything,
everything. Check the box.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to answer biggest pet peeve.
For me, I mean, on the list is like meanness. I can't deal with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just can't deal with that. I have a hard time being quiet when I see mean.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
It's,
yeah.
The whole bullying thing I can't handle it.
All right.
No. All right. Here's a good one. No time span. You can pick from the 60s, 70s, 80s, wherever you want to start. Favorite cartoon character?
Oh, easy. Leonardo.
What?
Hey, Leonardo.
He's a Turtles fan.
You tried him Scooby?
No. I'm not that old.
What?
Oh, no.
I'm not that old.
I'm not that old.
No.
I think what they did came out in like 66. What was it? Scooby-Doo? It's not that old.
Yeah, that's 20 years before my...
That's not us.
That's wrong decade.
Oh, man.
That's wrong decade.
Oh, gosh.
Who doesn't love the Ninja Turtles?
Listen,
I know.
I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to say like the Rugrats.
Oh.
Tommy Pickles. Mm. He's so cute. Yeah. You can't go wrong with the Rugrats.
No.
All right. Scooby-Doo. All right. Sunsets or sunrises?
Sunrises.
Yeah? Why?
Sunrises.
Why?
That actually reminded me of my time being deployed.
Really?
Believe it or not, the sunrise in Iraq, even and in Kuwait, it was just something. It was just peaceful. It was just, you'd have to be there. It was just so tranquil.
Right.
There was nothing around. I mean, it's just desert sand. It was just something about it that just, it got my day going. Mm-hmm. So,
isn't it amazing how we as human beings find beauty even when the times are like the toughest? I mean, here you are in Iraq, like you said, we're in a state of war, and you find that one beautiful moment.
Yeah, I
got you through.
The sun rises, but I also tell you, just what really got me through, minus the working out.
Of course.
Minus the working out, was every day was just like seeing the sunrise, and you know, I was one day closer to going home. I was just one day closer to going home. So I knew not just that, but I was alive. I was one day being alive. So.
I mean, that's a great reason.
That was a great reason for me, you know, just loving the sunset.
Yeah.
So.
Sunset. I'm a Hawaii girl, so
best sunset ever. I love the sunrises. I love the sunrises. Yeah, just
the cheese stands alone. It's fine.
Okay, no worries. Here we go with the next one, Melissa, if you will.
All right. If they made a movie about your life, who would you want to play Detective Campbell?
Oh, Dwayne Johnson.
Because he's quite the accomplished actor.
Oh, we're the same side. We're the same people. We're the same people.
That's right. That's right. Mr. Johnson, I didn't mean anything.
To tell a funny story.
The Rock, huh?
My middle daughter, when she was two, like, people that know me still, like, I won't, like, watch wrestling from time to time. Uh-huh. And I would just grab my daughter and be like, that's me. That's me on TV. And she'd be like, no,
that's not you.
I'm like, that's me. Yeah. That's me. Just ask your mom. Ask your mom.
Yeah. Now, he's an amazing story. I mean, he was a professional wrestler. Father was a professional wrestler. I mean, this guy is now accomplished. I mean, all jokes aside, I mean, he's accomplished. He's an American story right there.
He's got a really good show.
Does he really?
Yes, he does. I'll have to send it to you. It tells the story of like his mom and the wrestling stuff that his dad did and his mom's empire. It's really cool.
His dad was Rocky Johnson.
Yep.
His pops was Rocky Johnson.
If you ever have a chance to read his autobiography, it definitely tells you the struggles he had growing up in a household, financially, going to school, playing football.
Right.
The $7 story to being a professional wrestler to now being one of the world's biggest movie stars.
They say that. I don't know if it's true or not, but they say he's one of the kindest people you ever meet, does a lot for the people that have helped him come up. That's a great story. Yeah.
The Rock.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I could see him playing you, man.
Yeah.
I just got to do some cardio first, but then we can.
He's got to do the cardio.
No, I got to do the cardio.
I think the shirts would fit the same, though, right?
Is right?
Those mediums.
Well, this is a double XL.
It's double XL.
Is that right?
Chief Drew gets me all the time. He's like, what's up, Schmedium? I said, whoa, this is.
Well, you look great, all right,
thank
for the
you.
Record.
You look, That's
yeah,
right.
Gosh, you look great. So, what a pleasure it's been.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your story with us. It's important that people hear it. You know, like we talked about second chances and, you know, setting goals. That's so important. A lot of us as young people forget to set goals for ourselves. And I think we reduce the probability of our success when we do that. So, you know, young people who are out there, keep that in mind. Even if it's only a 6-month goal, set it, right?
Right.
Yeah, but it's such a pleasure. You are are such a joy to talk to, and you're such a good, good man.
Thank you.
You really are. Obviously a family man. You're nuts about your kids and wife, and just a good dude, if I may say that.
I gotta give a shout out. It's my wife.
Please shout her out with this 7-month-old baby at home.
Through my wife, I can do anything. She's my rock. She's my support system.
She's a support network.
If I'm going through a roadblock with her, I feel like I can go through anything. Mm. I get welled up saying it, but it's true though. I can never thank her so much for doing everything she has as a mother, as a stepmother, holding down the fort, being a full-time employee herself. And she's literally the definition of my queen. I couldn't imagine life without her.
That's beautiful.
I owe her everything. Everything that I am right now, I owe my wife.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, anything?
I just appreciate you coming. I'm so excited that we have people in the queue that are making these moves into leadership that have type of mentality that you have. Just the idea that you guys are up and coming. I'm really excited about getting older on this department. You guys are going to make it really easy to retire here real soon. Yeah.
And I would say normally you would talk a little bit about push the like button, but hey, maybe you can reach out to Mr. Johnson, and ask him to like it.
I'll share it with him.
Would you share that with him?
I'll have him repost. What do the people say? Repost the story?
Repost.
I don't know. I don't even have social media, to be honest with you. I'm confused by myself, much less social media.
Push the button, guys. Yeah, come back and see us again.
That's right. So for those of you who have returned to view episode number 8, right? It's in the books, as they say, right? Or in the can. Which one is it? I don't know. It's a term that they use in the film industry. But thanks for coming back and seeing us. Cheers, everyone.
See you guys next time.
Ciao. Nice.